Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, you have joined the AEN Candidacy Preparation Training Program for the last episode. We have 1 week. Glory to God, glory to God. We are excited. Are your bags packed? Are your things all pressed and ready? All your work turned in and your consecration done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We want to start our meeting today with our song while we wait for others to join so we can all start on one accord. Everybody is on live. So we don't hear background noise.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe. We believe.
Praise the Lord, and we believe. Now that we believe, what do we believe? And how will we let that fuel our passion to go forth in the ministry that God has ordained for us to walk in? So we thank you for joining us, for joining the journey to your ordination. We thank you for your faithfulness, your diligence. We thank you even for the trials along the way, for you have overcome them, and you are being tried, and you will come forth as pure gold. For God is the one who has committed himself to perfect us. And so we thank him for that, and we ask, if we have the mail, we do have one of the men of God on the line to open us up in prayer. Your phones are live. And take them off the speaker.
Our Father, we come before you this evening to say thank you once again. Father, we thank you for that which we have believed, not just today, God, but from the very beginning. And God, as we continue to walk deeper into believing and things manifesting itself just that much more, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We ask tonight, God, that each and every one that are on the phone tonight, oh God, that you touch our hearts, touch our mind, enlighten, God, the very thing that's said tonight, God. Continue to bless each and every one of them in their prospective place. God, bless not just us, but this global vision that you have given us. Father, we ask tonight, God, that you do whatsoever you want to do. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. We are coming down to the wire. We have a lot of housekeeping we want to do. And so we will do that first to give all the rest of the callers time to call in, chime in. We do want to make sure that our first presenter today will be Dr. Dorothy, because we failed to allow her to share with us from last week. And so if you were ready to share last week, but we weren't able to pick it up on the line here, we definitely want to give you priority today. And so you can always text me and say, you know, me, and you need the last 4 digits of your phone number, and make sure you give me your name so that I know. And we will gladly wait for you to share. So I do want to start with, maybe we'll just end with some of the housekeeping, and that way everybody that's going to be on the line will be on the line, and they will hear all of the final details. And then I encourage those that are on the line now to think of any questions that you might have that you want to ask so we can address them for when you get on site. Okay? We have two sets of presenters this evening. We have Minister Brittany Buck with Minister Pat Wright, as well as I shared we're going to have Dr. Dorothy share, and then others will share their moment prayer. Dr. Parker will give us instructions, or remind us of the instructions she gave last week. Dr. Parker?
Yes, ma'am.
You want to remind him of the instructions?
Absolutely.
Yes, you want to remind him of the instructions?
We were encouraged last week to daily or at least regularly reiterate our mission out loud so that we will hear it in our heart, we will hear it with our ears, and receive it in our heart. Just remind ourselves of our agenda, our purpose, our daily walk. And that's why we're saying it out loud, so we'll hear it. And then to begin to go through the minute prayers that we already have written, and then to say them out loud. Every day we don't have to say them all, but we will find that that they should begin to see how our vision will be manifested. Remember, we have a vision and we have a mission. We have the what and we have the how. And that is what we should begin to see coming together. And I was just reminded this week in terms of mine that sometimes we don't see our vision manifesting because the requirements of our mission we don't want to do. We don't want that element of our flesh to die. Maybe we have been stagnated in, when I say we, I mean those who have been given that mission, have been stagnated in the belly of the fish, as in Jonah. We don't want, or we don't believe those who we have been called to receive our mission are worthy, or maybe we are those who, as Abraham looked at the city and he went back and forth. You know, we aren't willing to go before the Father and say, "Well, I may not find 100, but what about if I find 5? What about if I find 2?" We have to be willing to tarry with some of our groups. Those who have an ear to hear us. And so we have to be willing to go the whole way with them and know that for whatever reason we've been given this group of people, whether we were once that group or whether God believes that we will have a heart for his people, this group. So understanding our mission and knowing why it is at a place, knowing why it is at the place that it is at. And one of the things that the word of God came this week was for him to reveal, you know, give us a clean heart for our people, renewing us a right spirit. So that we can know how to sow seed in good soil. And so knowing that sometimes before we can give the seed, we have to tarry with the soil before we can lay out the seed. Or sometimes we have to die and become the new wine skin and get new wine infused in us, and that is a process that does not always feel wonderful. But to know that in order for us to be that new wine skin and get that new wine, that the people group who we are called to meet, it causes, requires in us. And that goes back to, you know, when we tell Jesus, you know, I want to be a part of your resurrection. You know, that's that dying. That, in order to be a part of his resurrection, we got to die. So I encourage us to stay fast, to stay encouraged, and to continue in the labor, continue in the work, continue in the call, and to pursue it, and to hold one another up in the work. Absolutely. Thank you.
Amen. And I enjoy her using that particular one because, for me, it brought to my remembrance or to my mind, Holy Spirit is showing us that we need to identify what the old wineskin is and why it cannot hold the new wine, and then identify what the new wine is. And when we do that, once we identify it, then when we handle it, will know, oh, this is new wine, so it has this prerequisite or this priority or this nature or this is an element that requires something else. And then we're not trying to fit, you know, a round square peg into a round hole. And so we don't damage the heart that has the old wineskin as we're, and Spirit, Holy Spirit is renewing their mind so that the new wineskin can then take the new wine. And so we're not pouring new wine down the throat of those with old wineskins and causing them to choke on it. And so it becomes kingdom perspective and insight that is needed as we are doing the work of the anointing that has been placed in our life and of the office to which we have been ordained into. So with that said, I ask for Dr. Dorothy. We will hear you this evening first. Amen?
Amen, amen. My prayer is this. Abba, Father, in the majestic name of Jesus, I thank you for your grace and mercy. And Lord, I ask of you, what will thou have me to do as I desire to be an instrument of your peace? And his answer came to me in the New International Translation of Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed you, mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. The word of the Lord. Amen. Overseer, could you hear me? Hello?
I hope she ain't on mute. Overseer, you on the line, Overseer?
Hi, Overseer.
Hold on, we on. So, she may chime in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did. All right, so I was on mute. Okay. All right, I have Teen Titan going on over here. So I okay, but yes, I hear you. You can go for the one that asked, Overseer, do you hear me? I hear you. Go ahead. Tell us who you are and your mission, vision, people group. Let's hear it. Hello. Was that Kika?
No,
was,
I don't think.
Minister, that was Dr. Dorothy.
Well, I heard Dr.
That
Dorothy
asked,
already.
Could you hear her? She asked, could you hear her?
Oh, okay. Well, praise the Lord. All right. So is there another?
I think she's finished.
Yes. Yes. Who's going to be next?
This is Elder Yvette.
Yes.
Can I go? Hi. Could I go to the parables?
Yes.
Can I do the parable prayer?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I wanted to go back to the 5th of August, the large sheep, found in Matthew 18:11-14, as well as in Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 3-7. And so when she says, to put it with our mission, our vision, and who we're called to, I looked at that and I said, The lost sheep parable is talking about Jesus, who has 99. Well, it's talking about the shepherd who has 99, of which the shepherd is compared to Jesus as the good shepherd. So he has 99 sheep there, but one is lost. And even though he has 99, it's not just dismissed as, well, I got the majority of them here safe and I'm protecting them. There's one out there that's lost, and that's the one that I need to go. Because with my understanding of God being love and that his desire is that all men would be saved, he certainly sent his son for those that are lost, that don't understand the good news of the gospel that he came to bring, of the redemption of who they are and what their destiny really was to be and who they can be. So in the heart of a shepherd, I pray for those that are lost, those that have gone astray, that they too might come back into the sheepfold and, you know, reap the benefit of being a child of the Most High God of the kingdom and get better understanding. So I think that it is my duty to reach and to go after those who don't understand, who may not know what privileges that they do have, and contend for them, even in intercession, to pray that they may be as the prodigal, to come to themselves, to come into the full understanding that they are a child of the King, and they don't have to be that way. I will not just turn my back on them. I will continue to reach and look and go after them as the Holy Spirit will direct me, and pray for them that they will make it back. I will find them if they can.
Amen. All right, is there another? We are here from, let's see, who do I have on the line? Yay? Kaisa? Mr. Kaisa? Okay. Minister April.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am.
So I was looking at the new wine, old wine bottles, and I was looking specifically in the translation that is in Mark.
Okay.
I'm sorry, no. This is the mustard seed parable. And I was looking in the scripture in Mark 30 through 34. And I actually have the New Living Translation. And in verse 32 of that, it talks about how the seed grows to become one of the largest of plants with long branches where birds can come and find shelter. And so it was the long branches that kind of struck me in this translation. And so what I began to reflect about was how, you know, no matter what gift God has given us, you know, no matter how insignificant we think it may be, if we utilize that gift for that which God has ordained it to be, you know, it can reach thousands of people, you know, in other nations, in other countries or whatever. There are people that are needing to hear what we have to say or read what we have to write or whatever we think, whatever our gift is. If we utilize it, we'd be surprised of how it will reach others. The scripture talks about how your gifts will make room for you. And so my prayer would be that we just utilize the gifts that God has given us in the manner in which they are to be used, and to, by faith, watch them grow and develop and reach others.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Avante.
Yes, ma'am.
Your moment prayer for this week.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Your moment prayer for
Hello.
This week from Pops Grayson. Yes.
I'm sorry, Overseer. Can you say that one more time? We broke up a little bit.
Your moment prayer from the consecration this week? From
yes,
the
ma'am.
Parables of Jesus?
No, hold on. I'm getting that.
Okay,
there we go.
Can you hear the others?
Close the window. Yes, ma'am. I was muted, so when I muted in, when I took my phone off mute, it was hard to hear. I apologize.
Okay.
I can hear this.
Okay.
Okay. If it's okay, I would also like to speak on the mustard seed. That it's actually something that I
sure.
spoke on. Before. And again, the mustard seed is we see God many times as a seed time, harvest time God. So the mustard seed is when we have that, even if it's just a small bit of pure faith that we purely believe in God, anything we ask, anything we come to God for, that gives God the authority to move in our life as mightily as he needs to be, or as mightily as we ask and expect him to be. And as God continues to bring forth answer to prayers and to more prayers that we ask, the larger our faith gets along with reading the word, we realize how much God can do, how much God wants to do for us, as the Bible says, as the Bible tells us that. whatsoever you ask, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. And the Greek actual manuscript says that whatsoever you ask, if I don't have it, I will create it. So that having that mustard seed of faith is just that pure faith. And whatever we ask God in, even if we have to regress back to a small thing to believe it, so that the faith will continue to grow. And again, the mustard seed starts off as a, if anyone has ever seen a mustard seed, it's a very, very little seed, but it does grow into one of the biggest plants that you can find, as the woman of God said, Minister April said, with the largest branches and the largest leaves. So my prayer is that as we go forth, that God will continue to feed our faith, let his word feed our faith so our faith will grow, so that we will receive answers to prayer, so that we will begin to pray mighty things in the earth, so that we can see the manifestation of the kingdom in the earth, as well as those that are not in the sheepfold. So God's glory will be seen by all, and that many will come to the faith and receive salvation.
Amen. Amen. Minister Katie? You share with us this week?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Amen.
I too took a look at the mustard seed, and I wanted to hear from the Lord, you know, why that particular one stood out for me. And he says, you're always looking for, you know, this little bitty thing. This little piece of faith just to hold on to that little bitty thing. He said, you already have that. And it's grown so far beyond you know, where it originated already, that your eyes need to be enlightened again so that you can see how big the tree really is at this point. So I wanted to hear, so I'm just asking, why this season, why this elevation now, with regard to the people group, even that's changed a little bit. And I understand, just from meditating on it and, looking at it over these months, that the people group had to grow larger, as the tree grew larger, because the people group that I service have more attached to it that needs nourishment as well. So you're not just feeding the one people group, but you're also providing for those that are attached to them, which is, in my case, the youth. And in this season, it's branched out and it's become, whole families, and the perspective of the family needs to shift where the children are concerned. So my prayer became outside of, it went beyond, outside of Matthew 31, outside of the parable of the mustard seed, and it became enlarge my view so that I can see everything that he's revealed to me, everything that he's revealing in this hour, in this season, broaden my perspective so that I can see the larger picture, because if the tree is bigger than, what I imagined it is, then I'm only getting part of the picture. So that became my prayer this week.
Hey. Very good. All right. Amen. Amen. We do encourage you to continue. Your instructions are to write it down. Write down your moment prayers daily and bring that manual to conference. You're going to turn it in. It will be given back to you, but you must bring it. Put in there your moment prayer. You can put in your insight and revelations, if you like, that's fine. You don't have to separate them. It all be in one place. We are going to use them as a part of service. So I do admonish you to bring them in writing, in a journal, book, or a piece of paper, however you want to present them to God. Amen. So now we will have our final element of accountability brought to us by Minister Buck and Minister Wright. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Minister Pat. I'm going to go first. We were speaking on 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 26, the theme accountability to the body. And Paul compares the body of Christ to a human body, and each part has a specific function that is necessary to the body as a whole. And the parts are different for a purpose, and in their differences, they must work together. And we as Christians must avoid two common errors, being too proud of their abilities, of thinking that we have nothing to give to the body of believers. And instead of comparing ourselves to one another, we should use our different gifts together. And as a church, we are composed of many types of people from a variety of backgrounds with a multitude of gifts and abilities. And it's easy for these differences to divide people, as was the case in the Corinth. But despite the differences, all believers have one thing in common, and that's faith in Christ. And all believers, Paul argued for diversities of gifts, and he accepted the full range of gifts that God gives to his people. So no one should feel superior about his or her gift. Instead, all should use their gifts to willingly serve. And too often, the upfront gifts like speaking or teaching are more highly regarded than the behind the scenes. It also spoke about what our response should be when a fellow Christian is honored, and how do you respond when someone is suffering. We are called to rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And as a body, God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And the last part I had was that there should be no schism in the body. Division or alienations or feelings, we should find no place in the body of Christ. Rather, the members should have the same care one for another. The body is one, and it has a common life and consciousness. Therefore, whether one member suffers, all members suffer. Likewise, if one be honored, all members rejoice with it. So that's what I got out of being accountable to the body of Christ.
Amen, amen. Minister Buck? We don't hear you real well, I don't think.
Okay, could you hear me better?
Coming through. No, yeah.
Whoa, yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So again, we were covering 1 Corinthians 12:12-26. I ain't gonna go back and read the whole thing. That's gonna chop up my time. What needs to be remembered is that we are all one body, and everybody really is accountable to each other. I think it's important, especially for us as leaders, to remember things like that, because we take on so much responsibility within the body in terms of just the overall function and teaching others. And so, you know, it's real easy to become prideful. You understand what I'm saying? And so everybody has a particular purpose. I looked a lot at the physical body. And how, you know, we might look at certain parts of the physical body as unimportant, but like if you look at your pinky finger, when you ball your fist up, your pinky finger, even though it's the smallest, is the one that keeps things from falling out of the bottom of your hand. Same thing with like our armpits. You're like, oh, that's weird, but it's like if you don't have that armpit, it stops you from being able to have any kind of forward movement, backward movement, or upward movement in your arm. So we can't take for granted any parts of our body, no matter how insignificant they may seem to us, and we have to have a right attitude. We have to have a right attitude when it comes to that functioning, because I believe that our attitude speaks volumes about how we function as individuals within the body. When you begin to undermine somebody else's significance because maybe they do like the ministry of helps or something, and you feel like because they're not teaching or prophesying that whatever it is that they're doing is unimportant. But when we begin to undermine each other, not only are we disjointed, but we undermine God in that, like we act like he is not intelligent enough to place everybody where he wants them to be, as if he creates anything useless. And when we begin to view God or to undermine God's order, we put ourselves in a really dangerous position even there. And we leave the entire body at a disadvantage. And so when we see, you know, each other operating in such a way maybe that he is prideful, or, you know, we look at one of our fellow teachers and they're being real critical, or just their attitude is just real off, and you can tell amongst the people that they're teaching that this is becoming more of a lashing than an opportunity to teach. It's our responsibility to pull them to the side. I think that within the relationships that we build, we should know each other well enough or trust each other enough to be able to pull someone to the side and just politely talk to them and just, you know, hey, you're doing a little bit too much, and we have to not be so quick to be offended, but take some time to reflect, because we wouldn't say, you know, we would not pull each other to the side for no reason to address something if it were not a real issue. And upon reflecting, you know, we can make adjustments, but we have to be, one, not scared to confront each other, but two, know how to do that properly. I was also looking at, and I think this was always the most significant part of this particular scripture to me, is that when one part of the body suffers, the entire body suffers. And I think about an infection, something like unforgiveness that can start with one person, and then you got everybody within the ministry walking around with this attitude, holding grudges and things of that nature. And like things like that can be cancerous and they can spread. And so, again, just speaking to us as leaders, it's important that we understand that what we carry around with us, what we bring to and from, it affects the entire body. And we have to be willing, even as a leader, one, to submit to leadership, and two, to be willing to be accountable. If I'm having a bad day, something is going on with me, something's not sitting right, I have to be able, if I got to get on the phone and call you, overseer, and say, you know, this and this and this is going on with me, I might need to sit down. I don't have no problem with sitting down, because at the end of the day, we have to understand the importance of what we're doing as a whole. My one bad day could turn 12 new people in the building off from ever wanting to come back into a church again, and it's like we don't know where they end up after that. So we have to be, all in all, we have to be humble, we have to be mindful, but then we also have to be okay with operating where it is that God has placed us and not be trying to operate in nobody else's spot either. If somebody decides to walk away, it's not your job to fill their spot, because if you move trying to fill their spot, then the body is still at a disadvantage because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I think once we allow God to show us exactly what it is that he wants us to do, we find significance in that regardless of what we're doing. I think when we get wrapped up in titles and positions and, you know, members, numbers, and all of that kind of stuff, we start straying away from what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And it's like if you had to go through what Apostle Shonda had to go through to get where she was at, a lot of us wouldn't want to go. But so you can't be envious of where somebody else is functioning, because if you had to do what they had to do to get there, you probably wouldn't want to do it. Instead, search for the significance and what it is that God has called each of us to do so that we function, so that we can function properly as the body of Christ.
Amen. Thank you. We have ended our look at the elements that should be involved in accountability. And we pray that those things you have been met with your accountability partners, and then as accountability partners, that you have put forth that environment for the candidates. We do have forms out that the accountability partner needs to fill out and turn in. If you don't have one, text me, and Minister Sherita can just provide it for you at the conference, and you can fill it out then and turn it in. I would, after Saturday, don't email me anything. I'm not guaranteed to get it. So if it's something you need to get to me, you probably need to bring it to the conference. Or you can bring it to the physical location if you are in need of turning in something on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. After Tuesday, we will not be at location in Chicago. We will be out in Deerfield. We will give Minister Sherita the floor to try to go over some housekeeping information for you. But before we do that, we'd like to ask, with anybody else wanting to share
on any of our teaching assignments that we have been exposed to. This would be your opportunity. We do have Minister Sherita on the line, and so we will give the line over to her for further direction.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Just wanted to go over just some registration details again. Registration is still open, so if you have not turned in your registration form or you have people that are interested in attending the entire conference, you can actually register on Sunday after service, or you can register on Monday from 5:30 to 9:30 and Tuesday as well from 5:30 to 9:30. And if you have people that will be attending the ordination and banquet, we do still have banquet tickets available, and you can also purchase those this Sunday after service and Monday and Tuesday, 5:30 to 9:30 at the church as well. And then as it relates to the tickets as well, once you come and to the registration check-in area on Thursday to turn in your garments, that's when you will receive your tickets for the banquet. They'll actually be in envelopes. And so those that, you know, your people that are coming with you or that are attending the banquet, their tickets will be in your envelope, and so you'll be responsible for distributing those tickets to your people. And everyone must have a ticket. If they come to the door and they don't have a ticket, they won't be able to enter into the banquet hall. And then just, again, a reminder for the garments, just making sure that you put your name on all of your garments. You come to the registration check-in on Thursday between 8 and 9 and on Friday between 8 and 9. I will be there checking in the garments. And then how we're going to check them in is we're going to check them off item by item. So you're going to check in your cosset, you're going to check in your collar, you're going to check in your tippet, you're going to check in your cincher, and so on and so forth. And then you're going to initial that you checked in all of the garments, and then I'm going to initial as well. And I think that's it, unless anyone has any questions about what has just been covered.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister Sherita. And the church address, is in case you need to give it to your family or friends that may want to drop in to pay their fees, is 1750 West 103rd Street in Chicago. That's Bethany Union Church, upper level, 1750 West 103rd Street. Now, for those candidates that have been ordained before and you have items of your garment that have already been consecrated, those items you will wear in. So when you come down to, we will probably in Lake, we'll tell you the room that we'll meet to prepare the processional. You will already have those items on. You are a minister, we'll use Minister April. She will already have on her cassock, her collar, her cincher, her tippet. She will have it on, and when she gets to inside, the remaining items that she will have turned in will then be placed upon her. So you do not, if you've been ordained before, Minister Katie, different ones that we know, Pastor Pat, you already have garments. You wear them. For those that this is your first time, you are to wear all black, a black dress, or a black top and skirt. The top should have long sleeves, at least to the elbow, and not be embellished, but as plain and simple as possible. It could just be a plain shift dress. Your garments are going to be placed over what you wear down. So we will all march in the color black that is from the ordination candidate. There are other candidates, other leaders that will have a variety of colors, but that's in the area that they're in. And I don't believe anybody that's being ordained will have any color on other than black or white. So if you're already an elder, you would already have your surplus. If you're being elevated, you just need to turn in the item that represents that elevation. Or if you are purchasing new garments because of any of a number of reasons, and you want those consecrated, you have to let me know ahead of time. You must let me know ahead of time. Otherwise, you are to wear down your items. If perhaps when you were originally ordained, you did not have all of the items and you have purchased them now and you're being elevated and you want them to be placed upon you, as I said, let me know and that will be a part of your elevation process. And that's not a problem. But let us know in advance. Are there any questions?
Overseer?
Yes.
Yes, this is Elder Deborah. Do you want us to bring our prayer shawls, our tallit?
Yes.
Yes?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. If it's already been consecrated, you don't have to turn it in. You should just bring it to bring it to class. Bring it to class, particularly on Saturday morning. You will need it. If it has not been consecrated, you should turn it in with your items. Good question. Any more questions?
Yes, ma'am. Over to you. This is Candidate Mildred. I'm calling from Dayton, and I won't be able to come in until Friday morning. I think I'm catching a 6 o'clock flight. I think it takes like an hour.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Early Friday morning. Yes, ma'am.
That's fine, because that check-in is Thursday and Friday. You have 2 days to check your garments in. And now that I will make sure that arrangements, if planes are late and that sort of thing, I fully understand. I do want to also mention, because you, when you said you were coming in, that this, and I know that everyone should have registered, but once you come on site, you have to check in. I know we've been calling that registration. You may think, well, I've registered already. I don't have to do that. But once you get to the hotel, you must come and check in at registration, because that's when you will be given your packet. You'll be given a lot of information that's prepared for you, your name tags and that sort of thing. That's when you get that at the check-in at the AEN registration location, not at the desk of the hotel. But we're around, and they will have signs and individuals that will point you into the direction of where our check-in conference check-in site is. As Minister Sharita indicated, that's when you get your ticket, you'll get folders, you'll get a lot of things when you check in. If you're coming and you come around to the right of the main entrance of the hotel, then you're able to go through those double doors, and registration will be at the end of that hallway
to the right. You will see it, you'll see the crowd, and you'll see the signs, and it'll be very, very, it'll be a straight shoot if you come in on that side door. If you come in in the main door and registering for your room and that sort of thing, they will give you directions to how to get to where we are. I do want to encourage people that registration generally, you're able to check into your room basically at 3 o'clock. They may have made some kind of provision, and you're able to, that will be a blessing of God. If you must wait to 3 o'clock, all candidates, all you need to do is come to where we are having our session, and there will be locations there for you to leave your things if you don't want to leave them in the car. Otherwise, especially if you're being dropped off or that sort of thing, you can bring them to the room that we will be in during the entire conference. And that room is called Cook. The room is called the Cook Room. Plus, it will be labeled with ordination candidates, so you'll know where we are. I wanted to share with those that are staying at the hotel that the rooms, they have a mini beverage fridge, so it doesn't keep it real, real cold, but it does keep things cool. And every floor has a microwave and a pop vending machine and an ice machine. It's on every floor. So I know that that's sometimes a concern, but they do have a microwave and a vending machine and an ice machine on every floor. One of the things I wanted to share as well as the restaurants in the area, these are all from 5 to 10 minutes away, not necessarily walking distance, but for those that like to walk, they're not that far. But everything from very sit-down eatings, Japanese food, Thai food, Greek, French. They have several Chinese restaurants in the area within a mile or two. They have Indian and Mexican food as well. The common pizza, they have Serpentos. We know that they deliver. They have Domino's pizza, Serbo's. They have a Potbelly restaurant, Giordano pizza, Dunkin' Donuts, Chinese buffet. They also have all kinds of Chicago bagel, you know, Big Apple bagel type place. They have 24 hours restaurant. It's International House of Pancakes, McDonald's, Burger King, Subway. I said Potbelly, Panera Bread. They're all within 2 to 3 miles from the hotel. And then they have restaurants like Cooper Hawk, Morton's Steakhouse. You know, how far up you want to go. From on the food chain level, and you know how casual you want to go, they're all in about a 3 mile radius of the hotel. Wild Fish, Alexander's, Bobby's Cheesecake Factory, and so on and so forth. You can get a restaurant guide when you check in, if you like, and they have all kinds of, obviously, advertisements for all of these restaurants that will deliver to you. Are there any other questions?
Yes, Overseer, this is Elder Yvette. I did have a question. I saw in an email today that there's a conference call tomorrow night at 6:30. Is that for everyone, or
yes,
is it just standard? That's for everyone.
That is just... No, that is for the committee, the ordination committee only.
Okay. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And I'd like to thank the ordination committee And I pray that as we get together and they're introduced to you, that you will give them a standing ovation. They have worked diligently on your behalf in prayer and preparation for this elevation in your life. It is our heart's desire, our passion, that you will get the joy of this moment of your salvation, of your elevation, of your predestiny. And you'll just embrace it. It is life-changing, and it is awesome, and it is God, and it is marvelous in our sight. And we are humbly, humbly, humbly grateful to God for allowing us to share this with you. Any other questions or comments or concerns? This is our last phone conference. You can still call me if you have any last-minute things that come up and you get in a quandary. Just call. Do not panic. Do not allow the enemy any foothold in this. We are united. It is already done. It is successful, and it is going to change the faith of a lot of hearts that have been praying to God for an answer. Their faces will be filled with the joy of the Lord as you come forth in your ministry. Any more questions or comments?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
Those being elevated to elder, are they supposed to be purchasing prayer shawls?
If they don't have one, yes.
Okay, because I thought you had said that that was one thing that we didn't, and that there might be things given to us as a part of our office. So I was confused with that.
No. If you don't have one, yes, you need one. You need to purchase it.
Okay.
And those
Any
are
more
good.
Questions?
Yeah, no, I was going to say those are very good questions. Those are very good questions and statements. And just going forward so that you know, especially in sharing with the next class that is coming forward, as part of this ecclesia, if you will, prayer shawls is definitely a part of, I don't want to say the uniform, but the garments that you wear. Elder Yvette does a marvelous teaching about the prayer shawl that you all will possibly get at this year's conference as well, and because that's what Christ wears now. And so if you ain't had a cassock and you ain't had a tippet, you should at least have a prayer shawl because that's how significant it really is. And so anytime there's a conference that we're doing, you don't even have to ask. Put your prayer shawl in your bag. Anything Labors for Christ is doing, you ain't even got to ask. Bring your prayer shawl. If it's a prayer breakfast, if it's a strategy breakfast, put it in your bag. You preaching, put it in your bag. It keeps you covered, especially when you're ministering.
Amen.
So, you know, just keep that for mind. And I also just wanted, and going forward, as we all know, you all are part of the AEN. And so I don't want people to have the mindset that I went through this process and that's the end. No, that's not the end. Your next step for you guys, and I just want to start it now so we can inject it in everybody's mind, is engage the organization. Find what you want to do. See where there's a need and just start engaging. There are many different departments outside of the ordination council. There's education. There's protocol. We have those things. We just need people who are motivated to be a part of this organization. You are part of the covering. And this is going to be a personal thing, no longer want to hear, well, I want aware of it. Well, I'm making you aware of it as of today. There are many things that you can be a part of in this organization. And I didn't know, nobody called me. I'm not going to call you. I want you to know you are part of this organization. I want you to be so engaged and engrafted in what's going on as we are preparing leaders for the 23rd, 24th, 25th century to be able to engage and impact this world. You are brothers and sisters, and we look forward to working with one another. All tonight I kept hearing how fitly joined each body part is needed. Well, let's all take a lesson from that. When you pull away, when you pull away, I'm armless. When you're not present, I don't have a leg. When you're not present, my ankles hurt. Let me help you. My kneecap gave out. So we are all needed in the body.
Amen.
And we feel it when you are not a part. And so we want you to be a part. We want you to know that you are a part. You are in relationship with us, and as well as the kingdom of God. And I just wanted to share that because, I mean, you all did a marvelous job on this year. I really enjoyed the teaching. And I got to give a big shout out to Elder Dr. Arlette. Man, I mean, she didn't hit hard. And so it's dope. And so I'm just really excited with what God is doing in this go around. And I look so forward to working with everybody in the future going forward.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop. That is going to also be, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a question. When he mentioned prayer shawls, now is that everybody, or is that including a candidate like me?
You can be a lay person. Prayer shawl. Get you one. Get you one. Anybody, not just the candidates. Well, if you're part of this organization, let me be specific. I mean, as you are in fellowship with this organization, the prayer shawls, but you can get one. It's not just designated for those getting elevated, consecrated, or ordained. You can get a prayer shawl, for everybody.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I guess
it is a part of your garment. It is on your garment list. Prayer shawl. Yes, you need one.
They all look alike?
No, they do not. They're all different. We talked about them one of the nights here on the line. We can't give you all. We will have a further teaching, but they come in all kinds, depending on your office, depending on the anointing and the calling, depending on your heart, what God shows you. Honestly, they can look so different, or they can all look the same. They can be different colors. The colors represent something. Those are other things that will be presented at the conference. And I know you can say, well, you're presenting at a conference, but I already got one. But, you know, this is only the start. This is the beginning. And as your ministry develops and grows, there are different things that you're going to start adding to them, just by making your press. Doing different things, you're going to be a part of what you do. But to start with, there are basic ones you can definitely get. You can pay anywhere from $30 to $3,000. It just depends on where your heart and your wallet is.
Overseer,
right, different lengths,
yes,
and sizes as well, and materials.
On the garment sheet, Overseer, there was a color next to each office.
Yes.
I wasn't exactly sure what to do with that color.
Okay, that color is the color of your office. And so if you were to get a cord, and sometimes ministries have cords, that would be the color of your cord. But the colors, and we'll go through that, of that particular office, the color also has properties associated with it. It has biblical teaching behind it, and so these are all primary steps we're taking. And so as you see this, you will know that that's what that represents. So it would be the color of the cord, okay? That you are if you wear a cord. Some ministries give cords. Sometimes this ministry gives cords. And sometimes it is the color of the ring. If your
office requires a ring. That color is the color of that ring. And so that's why the colors are placed there. So you don't have to do anything with it, or you can use it if you want it to be the color of your prayer shawl. And you are, you know, in ministry and the color is green. I don't know that it is. I'm not looking at the sheet, but whatever. But you can also probably the most accessible one will be the off-white ones that have the bands of colors of either blue or black and gold and with the fringes and the corners, and all of these things will be shared with you, which is why we had them, I understand, Sister Margaret, but why we had them at the meet and greet so that people had an opportunity to look at them and to ask questions and physically, you know, mine is a very large one. You know, some are large because they're family ones, and the family can sit on them, or they may just be individual ones. It just, there's such a variety. So I hope that was helpful and didn't just confuse people. But, these are good questions, and we'll go into more depth at the conference. You can actually see them. And you'll see what the cords look like. They're part of also the cords will be in, and when you graduate, and they're just, everything has a color, has a color that has a meaning. And that's what the color on that garment sheet is about.
And spiritually, this is preparation for when you go to heaven, and some of us get crowns for how we live. Now, notice I said some. Some of us get crowns for how we live on this earth and the work that we have done and the faithfulness that we have shown to the Father. And so these are identifying markers. And so it's I don't want to say it's great practice, but it's just a reminder that it's identification of your office and who you are, and so that people can, when they look at you and they say, okay, this person is standing out, oh, I know who they are. They're an evangelist, they're the minister, they're the bishop. And let me just share one other thing. I know in this organization there is the allowance of crosses. Universally, that's not so. The only people that wear gold and silver crosses would just really be bishops and apostles, and not even rings. So I want to share that with you, that wherever you go, and if they see the ring, you'll be able to understand why they may be tripping a little bit on you, but I want you to understand what you are really coming into, that the rings that you are wearing, that God really sees you all as sons and daughters. And they're covenant rings, and he's cutting these covenants with you to let you know that you are his. Therefore, a standard has to be set. And yet there are certain dispensations and privileges that Apostle Dr. Shawnette is allowing through this ecclesia that you're not going to see in a lot of reformations. And that's why we're going to tell you that, and we're going to keep emphasizing it so that you know and you can have pride. And this way, when you're engaging other organizations, you'll know how to conduct yourself. So, for example, we was in Israel real quick, and women are not allowed to wear prayer shawls. It's just a no-no out there in Israel. They see it as a form of disrespect. But yet here in America, we have this freedom to be able to do that. And so, I mean, it's just things like that to be mindful of as we are going forward and what's really happening spiritually and naturally all at the same time. It's a beautiful thing. I'm really excited.
Amen. 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 And it is so much, and it's why you need to be, that's why it's so mandatory that you be a part of these meetings, the conference, and that's why you have a separate section so that you're able to be in inducted into all of these protocols, there's kingdom protocols that will be presented so that you'll know just how to line up, how to procession, and just so many of the, what do we want to call it, elements of kingdom
actions, no, a better word for it. But, and so they will be presented to you, and presented to you as it relates to the organization that you are a part of, which was so important for those that were possible to be a part of CCTI and to understand the ecumenical aspect of ministry, of being in a global ministry. These are things that are not focused on in more local ministries. They put all of the efforts into their missionaries, and the missionaries take care of the globalness of their ministry. But this ministry is a global ministry, and so it is it's at the forefront of what we learn and what we have to become familiar with. And all of that, again, will be shared with you, the very nature of the AEN, and this is something that you are a part of, and it is grand, and it is great, and as you bring yours, it becomes even greater, even grander, and even more enlarged as your territory enlarges the territory of the AEN. You will be given applications for membership to the AEN as part of your requirement for a bare minimum 5 years so that you continue to grow and develop and to be a good representative of this organization that you are a part of and that has conferred this elevation upon you based on your destiny and God's God established the anointing and the office that you are being elevated into for you. And so we pray that this is giving you just a slight picture. No. And so we, great question. Any more questions? And, you know, I encourage you, jot them down so that you can fire them off. We're going to have a question and answer session, you know, next week. And so these are some of the things that we can go into more detail with. We can show you and give you information that will guide you. Be a part of the walk of the ministries as you will see all of the ministries that are involved with the AEN and what they do so that those things that are on their heart may be a part of the vision that God has granted you and graced you with. And another thing I do want to share, because in our meet and greet, which is the first thing that you probably see that we do as a group at the conference, the meet and greet is going to require that you, the way we meet you, is by you presenting your vision and your mission to us. If you have not done it, you will be required to do it while we're in session, and everyone will have to present themselves as their vision and ministry. So it's nice, your name and, you know, where you went to school, but we want to know your name, your office, and what encounter you had with God that gave you this vision and this ministry, mission. And so that is how we started, and that's how we will end it, because at the end you are going to declare this, the scriptural prayer that you're developing during this consecration is what's covering and leading the way into the spirit realm for your vision and your ministry to come to pass. Okay? Questions, comments, insights, inquiries, concerns, excitement? Okay. All right, Bishop. There's silence.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, you know, they on mute. They ready to go. They done been through the pledging process, and they done stood strong. So I'm definitely excited.
Amen.
And once again, like Dr. Arlett said, I really hope that they do present their mission and vision, because that would be spectacular. I just recently redid ours, if you will,
Amen.
For reconstruction. And, you know, I just kept going deeper and deeper into it, and it just really became clear, like, oh, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Oh, this makes sense. oh, man, this is dope. Oh,
right.
So I'm just really excited about it. And if you're not excited about your own mission and vision, neither will the group you are trying to minister to will be excited. So get excited about presenting it, and we just love to hear it. And I'm just excited. So this is great. This is landmark what's happening this year. Whatever year is landmark, this is landmark what's happening this year. So Heavenly Father,
amen.
We thank you. God, we just thank you, oh God, we thank you. God, it is very clear that you are doing something marvelous in this organization, oh God, even in this year, oh God. We thank you for every breakthrough, oh God. Oh God, we don't understand everything, but one thing we are sure, you are Lord, you are God, you are worthy, you are the Lamb that was slain, oh God, and you are able to open up the seals, oh God, and release it unto us. You've given us the keys to be able to have access to all that you are doing in this kingdom and all that you want. Father, teach us to be more like you each and every day. Teach us to have your eyes and to see one another in love, O Heavenly Father, to see one another in love, O Heavenly Father. We thank you, O God, for giving us your heart, O God. We ask you to bless, O God, these candidates, God, as they are wrapping up, O God, as they are wrapping up their paperwork, oh God, and we just thank you, God, that all things are going to be put together, oh God, and organized in such a way, Heavenly Father, that they'll be able to just get it done, oh God. God, I pray, oh God, even in those times of God where it seems like there's idleness going on, oh God, convict them in their hearts, oh God, to be able to sit and write and produce, oh God, and just get it out the way, oh God. Every moment is precious. Give them traveling mercy for those who are traveling to and fro, oh God, and even those who are working even now, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the grace, oh God, and the mercy that you're giving them on the job, and God, that you make them aware that something is about to change and people will see it. And Father, we love you. We ask you to bless, oh God, the council, oh God, and the leadership over the council, oh Heavenly Father, and all that they do and labor in. God, we bless you. We thank you for the conference. We thank you that all bills are met, oh Heavenly Father. We thank you for extra resources, oh God. We thank you for the spirit of joy that will take place, oh God, as we are celebrating not only the perfecting of the saints, but the work of the ministry, oh God, and the building of the body. Father, we love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And before you hang up, Pastor Melvin, are you on the line? Avante, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
I understand sometimes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I need you to really talk loud, but I need you to share with them the testimony of the peanut man.
Of the who man? I'm sorry.
Of a car. Who did the peanut?
Oh, Dr. Washington Cobbs.
Yes.
Dr. Washington Cobbs. Yes, ma'am.
Can you?
He has it.
Can you just quickly share
I'm
with
sorry.
Them? Because
yes, ma'am. If anybody. Yes, ma'am. If anybody gets a chance, you want to pick up a book on Dr. Washington Carver. He was interviewed late in his life, and he was asked how did he come up with all the inventions from the peanut and the other agricultural inventions that he came up with. Well, he said that it was all God-given and God-inspired. He said that he would go into whenever he wanted to invent something, whenever he wanted to improve on something, he would go into his laboratory. He would go into a dark laboratory. He would then just sit and pray, and God would ask him, what do you want to know or what do you want to do today? And he would give God an answer. He said immediately it would be like God just pulled back a curtain, and all the answers to everything that he desired would just be right there in front of him. And he said that he never actually invented any of those things. God is all that was God-given and God-inspired. And these were farmers and things like that, because at the time that he did it, the South was going bankrupt because the ground would not yield any more cotton. Cotton had dried out the soil. So So when he came with the peanuts, he single-handedly, through the blessings of God, he replenished the South financially by getting them to produce peanuts and other agricultural products that just flourished, and boatloads of money started coming in. It's a great read. I think it's God's Little Workshop. That's the name of the book.
When Pastor Avante was sharing it last evening, he said when he went in to his laboratory, he took a pencil and some paper, and he wrote down what God said. And this is what we're asking you to do. Get a pencil and some paper. Go before the Lord. Write down what he said. You see what it did for George Washington Carver in the peanut and the South. It changed it. You can change the world. And, and I thought that was such a powerful lesson. You know, I know we have given prayer and it's over, but I just want you to meditate on that and see what Holy Spirit gives you. And you know what? When you start meditating, take a pencil and a piece of paper. Okay?
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you, Bishop.
You're more than welcome.
And good night, candidates. Praise the Lord. Good night and get busy.
Can't help but. Amen.
Amen.